You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Back to our Florida primary coverage now. So novelist and Miami Herald columnist Carl Hiaasen, you're a registered voter in Florida, is that right?
I am.
What time did you get to bed last night, bud?
Pretty early.
Pretty early. I got someone who wants to thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you to the people in this room and to the people all over Florida. Thank you tonight for this great victory.
Mitt Romney, of course, winning the Florida primary. And I know you probably weren't voting as a Republican, Carl Hiaasen. Is that correct?
Let's just say I just kind of skipped it yesterday.
But let's just say, whoever heard of a Florida electoral contest where you go to bed early?
Well, that's true. But this is, you know, the primaries are different. And it turned around pretty heavily over the weekend. It wasn't any shock. I mean, as of Thursday last week, when I had to do my Sunday column for the Herald, we cleverly have 3 or 4 days between the deadline and the actual column, so the
nice.
Defense can change totally. You know, it was a dead heat, basically. They were neck and neck, Romney and Gingrich. So it turned around pretty swiftly once the reality set in for people.
And we've got 46 for Mitt Romney and 32 for Newt Gingrich. What do you think in terms of, so many different kinds of ears in the state of Florida, as you've written about? What do you think was wrong with the tone of Newt Gingrich, and what turned out to be right for Mitt Romney?
Well, I think as much as people hate to admit it, attack ads work. And I think in the case of Gingrich, who does have a lot of baggage, he also doesn't have a boundless reservoir of goodwill within the Republican Party. You know, he's not that particularly popular among the leadership. So he's really sort of left out there to defend himself against charges that were mostly true. So,
<Right. laughs>
you know, I think that's a tough thing. Romney spent more money, and it was that's what you're going to see continue. As dreary and daunting as it is for the American public to sit through these ads. And one of the things the exit polls show, by the way, that Floridians were just at the end nauseated by all the attack ads, that's not going to stop because they do work.
And, you know, some of the other numbers, and referring to the baggage of Newt Gingrich, you know, women voted very much against Newt Gingrich. Romney got a majority of women. He got a majority of Latinos. Here's Newt Gingrich's analysis of what happened last night.
I think Florida did something very important, coming on top of South Carolina. It is now clear that this will be a two-person race between the conservative leader, Newt Gingrich, and the Massachusetts moderate.
Two issues there, two-person race, and imagine Florida doing something important, very important, according to Gingrich there.
Well, I think he would have even said it was more important had he come close or won. But the fact is he lost by a rather heavy margin, and it's reasonable to expect that by the end of this road, if it's just him and Romney, that the margin could be wider. Although, you know, one thing I saw last night, Romney cheering on the fact that there was such a competitive primary and that there were so many different candidates in it, when usually at this point in the race, they're begging for everyone else to drop out. So I don't know, not sure what his strategy would be, except perhaps that he thinks Santorum's constituency would probably swing more over to Gingrich. So maybe he's happy for Santorum to stay in until the nomination is locked up.
You know, there was a big number that said among the people who voted for Mitt Romney, I believe, if not a majority, then somewhere in the 40s, believed he wasn't conservative enough. What's that about for Floridians?
Well, obviously, I mean, I think in a Republican primary, you're going to have typically the most conservative voters show up because they're the ones that are most agitated, the ones that are most motivated. They're not going to carry Florida with just those voters in November. That's not going to happen. They're going to need moderate Republicans, and there's plenty of them. They're going to need people who more closely identify with a candidate like Romney. If it were Gingrich and Obama running in Florida in November, Obama would have stomped him. And everybody knew that, and that was really the thrust of a lot of the Romney advertising was, who do you think can win? And they would show these attack ads would show pictures of Obama grinning, and they'd say, why is this man smiling? Because he's thinking of Newt Gingrich as his main opponent. Right. The whole point was that it would make Obama very happy to be running against Gingrich. And I said the same thing in the column. They're probably doing cartwheels at the prospect of it.
Well, imagine you getting material from a political campaign for your columns. Describe for us, because you witnessed it personally, you know, coming out of Iowa and New Hampshire, the floodgates of ads and campaign appearances and campaign events and the proliferation of campaign headlines. How did it feel for you over the, you know, week or so, week and a half or so, where Florida was completely in the spotlight?
Well, you know, I watched a lot of Animal Planet during that period of time.
Good,
that was my
you.
Decision. Was not. And the other thing that we had going in our house is we have a 12-year-old with very nimble fingers, so he hits the mute button whenever he would see a Mitt or a Newt ad. It just went off. The sound went out, and we could sit. And actually, they were very humorous. If you didn't have the sound, they were very funny. At one point there was an ad juxtaposing Mitt Romney, photoshopping him next to Rick Scott, our controversial Republican governor. So for the first time in my memory, you had an effort to slander a Republican presidential nominee by pairing him with a Republican governor.
That's great. Any other favorite ads and quotes and juxtapositions such as that?
Well, you know, I guess the ad you saw the most often was the was Newt standing, Newt superimposed in the baggage claim area of an airport, talking and having everything come off the baggage claim. All his different problems over the years would come off as a set of baggage that would be piling up, and it was like, can Newt win with all his baggage? I mean, I can't say it was clever, but again, from a 12-year-old mentality, it was probably fairly humorous.
Now, can you confirm that this ad actually aired somewhere in Florida? As governor of Massachusetts, Mitt Romney vetoed a bill paying for kosher food for our seniors in nursing homes, Holocaust survivors who for the first time were forced to eat non-kosher because Romney thought $5 was too much to pay for our grandparents to eat kosher.
I have no idea if that ran. I do know that Gingrich ran ads in the Miami area in Spanish comparing Romney to Fidel Castro and invoking the term socialism over and over again, referring to the health care program in Massachusetts. And I do know that it had absolutely no effect, that it didn't help at all. But that's how low it went.
Well, and shocking, because they do look so much alike, Romney
yeah,
and
you know,
Castro.
Yeah, you know, they're frequently mentioned in the same breath. But that was a sort of the level of desperation that hit the Gingrich camp at the end. Unfortunately, I mean, now that the campaign has moved out of Florida, you're just going to see more and more of that, John, because the attack ads had a definite effect, and so there's no escaping them now. And the only possible relief for Americans is to view them as comedy,
or to have your 12-year-old with the mute button there
yeah,
in your
and
house.
Have him switch over to a couple of, you know, cheetahs humping or something on Animal Planet.
Nice. So thanks for that. So we're talking with Carl Hyacin, Miami Herald columnist and author of all kinds of novels and children's books. He's on the line from his home in Florida. So, Carl, I actually loved the fact that Florida being so diverse was a pretty interesting test in this early stage of the political campaign. I like Florida being early here.
Well, I like it because it gives us a break now for about 10 months. I would prefer they had actually a year ahead of the other primaries, because then we could get it out of the way. But the one thing, it's a much more, because of the diversity, it's much closer to a real election, an authentic test of candidates than Iowa, for heaven's sakes, or South Carolina or New Hampshire, where it's a whole different demographic pick. It's a whole different strategy. You come into Florida, you have to appeal to probably four or five different parts of this state that could in and of themselves be separate states. You can't get away with giving the same speech, running the same ad, making the same pitch. You can't do it here.
All right, Carl Hyacin. So that means we can't talk to you for at least 10 months, huh?
I'll be in hiding.
All right, Carl Hyacin, Miami Herald columnist and novelist and fascinating commentator on the culture of Florida. Thanks so much, Carl.
Thanks, John. Good talking to you again.
So if you can do better than some of the ads that you're seeing on TV or that Carl Hyacin's been talking about, we invite you to do so. We want your pitch for your Republican presidential candidate. 15 seconds, please, at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
Hey, it's Steve from Manhattan. My pitch is get rich with Gingrich.
Although with his financial constraints in his campaign lately, get rich may not be the best campaign slogan for Gingrich. But we want your 15-second pitch for your chosen Republican presidential candidate. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or go to the website. It's thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. I'm still thinking about the cheetahs. Yeah, that's not good. Yeah. This is The Takeaway.